How do you do? Mind coming with us? There is someone we want you to meet. At the age of 18, he has already been through the battles of personal rebellion at the cost of a great deal of comfort and a certain amount of self-respect. That life ended, and he began to live an altogether new and immensely happier one after his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, Crossroads of America, the Pacific Garden Mission presents Unshackled, the unique transcribed dramatic series telling the true stories of real people. For almost 89 years, the old lighthouse has offered the open secret of a new life to the men and women of the street. Now, through Unshackled, it reaches straight to you right where you are with the same secret of the same new life. These programs are now heard in almost any place on earth that you can name. Their appeal is worldwide because they deal with needs that are common to all of mankind. We're grateful for this outreach, which has come to be as some of those who listen have made it their business to make it possible for others to hear the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Did I ever get around? I always travel with my thumb. Now, I ain't nothing but a bum. Went to Nashville, City of Stars. Then I hit Detroit, City of Cars. Stopped in L.A., Frisco, too. Every place but Timbuktu. When I get broke, I work a week. Then I leave a new town I seek. Getting tired of traveling round, I'll head on back to my hometown. Went to New York, saw Broadway. Then on down to Chesapeake Bay. Spent a night in Norfolk jail. Had nothing but water, bread that's stale. In every town it's always the same. People shun me because of my name. They all call me that no-good bum from a turned-down hat and stuck-up thumb. 2 years gone is a mighty long time. I had my fill of this cheap wine. Guess it's time to settle down and head on back to my hometown.
You passing the hat, kid?
Sure. How about dropping a little bread?
Yeah, well, here's a dime.
That's more like a crumb.
Well, if you don't like it, why don't you learn some songs people know?
I'll have you know that was my own composition. Nothing commercial about me.
Yeah, so I see. Hey, kid, why don't you work for a living, same as everybody else?
Why should I? This is freedom, man. Real freedom.
That point of view isn't unusual. Freedom from responsibility, from gainful employment, from convention, these are the goals of a number of people, most of them quite young. Bob Sharp, the boy whose story we have to tell, was much like the others. About the only thing he couldn't manage to make himself the perfectly conforming nonconformist was the raising of a beard. Now, if you've wondered about these young people, or if you're one of them, we think you'll be interested in the true story of a boy named Bob Sharp. As we bring it to you right now on Unshackled. Bob was born in 1948 and grew up in a large Midwestern American city. Let's see, Bob, you told me that your childhood was very pleasant.
That's right. It seems to me now that for quite a few years I was given almost anything I wanted. When my brothers came along, though, their needs and their wishes had to be respected, too. So that meant that I was no longer the important one, and I resented it. We spent our summers in a cottage on the lakeshore about 100 miles away. In a way, that little town on the lake was as much home to me as the city in which we lived. Even out of the vacation season, I often hitchhiked out there to see friends I knew. And then a couple of years ago, my parents tried to enforce a few rules for my behavior, and I decided to get away. And that's how it happened that I went out to the edge of town, and thumbed a ride in a car that was headed the way I wanted to go.
Oh, sure glad you stopped to pick me up, mister. I was starting to shiver standing out there in the wind.
Nobody goes up the shore road this time of year except people like me who have to go on business. Come to think of it, how come you're going that way? Shouldn't you be in school, boy?
Yeah, but I have friends up the shore. Oh, actually, a friend.
Oh, sounds like must be a girl.
She's going to be pretty surprised when I walk in. But her mother's a great person. She'll put me up for a few days.
Mm-hmm. What about school?
School bugs me. Most of all, my mom and dad bug me.
Oh?
Yeah. They want to make me live like some kind of a prisoner. Can't stay out after 9 o'clock on a school night. What do you think of that?
What I think doesn't matter. I'm not your dad.
Well, you ought to hear them bark about my smoking cigarettes. By the way, do you happen to have one on you? Cigarette, I mean?
Sorry, I don't smoke.
Great. I've been smoking since I was 12. Well, to hear my folks talk about it, you think I'd already had one foot in the grave.
Mm-hmm. Have you read the medical reports?
Oh, you too.
I just ask.
I suppose you think I'm headed straight for hell because I smoke a pack and a half a day.
I didn't say that.
Let me tell you something. Hell is a place on the map, and it's my hometown, complete with parents, brothers, and school.
The driver of the car dropped the boy in the main street of the small lakefront town. A minute or two later, he was knocking at the door of his friends.
Bob!
Hi, Betsy.
What are you doing, selling brushes?
Right now, I'm freezing to death, and you're not making me feel a bit warmer.
Well, I thought we agreed we weren't going to see each other anymore.
I know, but I had to go someplace. Betsy, I've left home.
Bob, we're not running a shelter for homeless high school dropouts, you know.
Oh, please, can I come in? I'm cold.
All right, but you'll have to tell your story to my mother. And you'd better make it good. She's not stupid.
So that's the story, ma'am. I don't have any money. I couldn't think of any other place in the world where anyone would want to take me in. And thanks for this dinner. It's great.
Betsy.
Yes, Mom?
There's a hot mince pie in the oven. See if you can cut it without having it run all over.
Okay. But please remember, Bob's coming here wasn't my idea.
I know that, dear. Just cut the pie and serve it.
Just for the record, that's all.
Now, Bob, let's try to figure this thing out. Do your parents know you're here?
Yes.
Next question. What about school?
Oh, school bugs me even worse than my folks do.
And if you drop out of school, what then?
Then I'll be free.
Free to do what? Be a hobo?
A beachcomber, maybe.
Well, that's all very romantic. It might even be practical, slightly, in some parts of the world, but only an Eskimo could stand being a beachcomber on the upper Great Lakes in the wintertime. Maybe you noticed that walking up from the highway?
I know. I nearly froze to death. That's the only reason Betsy let me come in.
And that's one reason you're sitting here now, getting ready to eat hot mince pie. But being here is no real answer to your problems, Bob.
I suppose you're right. But honest, I hate it at home.
By this time, you've made up your mind to hate it.
Maybe. But how can I stand what I hate?
You'd be surprised how many things we can stand if we have to. Bob, I think it's important for you to go back home and finish out this semester of school.
Oh, I don't want to.
I know. But will you do it? For me?
Well, okay. Okay.
Good. I'll go phone your family.
You mean King of the Road has agreed to go home?
Ah, Betsy.
Here's your pie. You wouldn't get that with any 4-bit room.
Bob says of Betsy's mother, she was a very understanding woman. He carried out his end of the bargain with her and went home and to school. Once after that, he repeated his break for freedom, hitchhiked to the same place, and went through the same procedure all over again. Bob, did anything noteworthy happen during that semester that we haven't covered?
One thing. Late in the winter, on a weekend, I went out to the family cottage on the lakeshore, and conducted a big beer party. It left quite a mess. Stale beer, empty cans all over the place, and somebody put a fist through a door panel. Well, a couple of days later, my parents stopped by to look at the place, and what they found didn't win me any popularity contests at home.
Well, the day school ended, Bob did just as he had said he would. Went back up to the little lakeshore town to live. He had no money, of course, and needed a place to stay, so he went to see one of the boys of the town. They had been friends during previous summer vacation seasons.
Why, yeah, Bob, I think I can talk Mom into letting you have a couple of meals a day with us, but we don't have much room, you know. Where are you going to sleep?
Well, that's easy, I think. You know that old granary where you sleep?
Yeah. You mean you want to stay there?
Sure. Be great.
Great, huh? Yeah. Well, if I can stand it, I guess you can.
Thanks. I'll move in today.
That arrangement lasted just 2 weeks. And then Bob's pal went into the army, and Bob had to find other quarters. For a few days, he stayed in the cottage owned by his parents. The cottage he had so nearly wrecked with his beer party. Then the place was sold, and he had to find a new home. Bob was beginning to discover that the life of complete freedom presented a few problems. Still, he had no intention of giving it up. He felt that one way or the other, the world owed him some kind of a living, and he intended to collect. In a moment, we'll discover what happened. Just now, though, here is Harry Saulnier, who is superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Harry Unshackled is within a very few weeks of beginning the 17th year of continuous broadcasting. This is some sort of a record for any dramatic series. What today is the greatest need for the program?
I would say that we need to be heard by more people, over even more stations, and in the places where the broadcast does not presently reach.
Why is this so important?
Let me read from a letter that came to us very recently. It was written by Bob Lee of the Glen Allen Community Chapel of the Central Alaskan Missions. We feel, writes Bob, that Unshackle has been one of the most effective programs in this area for leading men to Christ. They even play the program on barroom counters. One fellow had been listening to the program steadily, and during a drinking party, he announced to his friends that he'd had enough and was going to go to the chapel to be saved. He arrived at midnight and is rejoicing in Christ. A week later, he brought a friend back, and his friend trusted the Savior also. Other letters tell the same or similar stories again and again. So, we feel that Unshackled is a powerful and effective means of evangelistic outreach. The more people we can reach in more places, the more effective it will be.
And how is this outreach to be extended? We have no promotional machinery.
Unshackled has spread in the past in two ways. First, radio station administrators have discovered that the program is a consistent audience builder. Unshackled attracts listeners and brings them back week after week. It is heard by people of all religious beliefs and of no belief. It's heard in surprising places, as indicated in the letter from which I've just read. Stations in areas where the program is not now broadcast can arrange for program service by writing to us. That's one way we grow.
And the second?
Friends of the program tell others and make personal contact with radio station management in their areas. This is very important. One thing, though, is most valuable of all.
And that is?
The faithful praying support of those who have learned through personal experience that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing.
And that's the way it is as we approach the end of our 16th year on the air. For program and station information, write to Unshackled, Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Listeners in Britain or on the continent may write to Unshackled, Transworld Radio, 30 Bedford Place, London, WC1. Now back to the true story of a boy named Bob. Once again, he found himself without a home. Even the granary that had sheltered him was no longer available. And things seemed to have been closing in on you, Bob. What did you do?
I discovered that an acquaintance of mine owned an old log cabin just beyond the edge of town. Wasn't much of a place. Nobody had bothered to chink up the open spaces between the logs, so there was plenty of ventilation, especially when a cold, wet east wind blew in off the lake. And for furniture, there was an old bed and a couch and a battered wooden table. A wood-burning stove provided the heat. Well, for light, I had a couple of old-fashioned kerosene lamps.
Sounds to me as though you have the spirit of a pioneer.
Well, not exactly. The pioneers worked for a living.
And you?
Well, I sang. Really, there was no basic difference between me and a blind street musician, but this, I was perfectly healthy and able to do a day's work. Instead, I drifted in and out of saloons and accompanied myself on the guitar. When the customers had enough of me, I passed the hat and got out. Other times, when passing pleasure boats put in at the waterfront docks, I'd go down to the shore and perform for the boating people.
Well, I can't imagine that this brought in much money.
No. It was good for about one meal and two packs of cigarettes a day.
Well, Bob, why not two meals and one pack, or three meals and give up smoking altogether?
Well, because like a lot of other victims, I was hooked on cigarettes. Food? Who needs it? Anyway, I could always drop in on friends at mealtimes.
No bad days when the money failed to come in?
Yeah, there were bad days. After a few weeks, I ran into a really tough streak.
Kid, will you shut up and let the people drink in peace?
Oh, mister, you just don't dig good music.
Well, I happen to be a music lover. That's why I'm asking you to shut up and get out of here.
You don't want to see me make a living?
A living? Why don't you go down to the docks and entertain the boat people?
Because the weather's been bad for 3 days and there aren't any boats.
Well, that's your problem. Here's a dime. On your way. Sick in the head, boy? We don't get any boats in weather like this.
I know. I was just hoping it might let up.
Yeah, not a chance. East wind sets in like this, all cold and wet. It can go on for most of the week. Yeah, you won't make a nickel around here.
I just happened to be going by, so I...
Let me guess. Bad weather. No boats at the dock.
Oh.
How time flies. I had no idea it was so late. Must be almost dinner time. Well, come on in.
Oh, thanks, Betsy. You look fabulous. What'd you do with your hair?
Washed it and had it cut. You should try the same thing sometime.
Which one?
You might try both. Mom, put another plate on the table. The beachcomber's here.
Oh, well, thanks. I really didn't expect anything.
Didn't you? You really like to invite yourself places, don't you?
I had a thick skin, but not so thick that her comments failed to penetrate. Suddenly, the kick I had felt from feeling that I was free and on my own was gone. I was too proud after that to visit around at mealtimes, and the weather continued bad. I was walking in town, stretching my cigarettes and wishing there was enough money so that I could smoke and eat as well, when a fella I knew stopped me.
Hey, I know where you can find a one-week job. You get 3 squares a day.
Yeah? What do I have to do to get the meals?
Cook 'em.
Huh. Cook 'em. Well... If they can stand my cooking, I can sure stand the meals.
Good, good. Meet me at 7 o'clock Monday morning.
Okay. Where?
In the basement of the church. A Youth for Christ team is coming in for some rallies.
At 7 o'clock the following Monday morning, Bob went to work in the kitchen in the church basement. He was told to be ready to serve breakfast to a group of young people at 8:30. Well, he worked for an hour, all the time speculating on what the Youth for Christ teen team would be like.
You know, I decided that they'd all be carrying Bibles, and I thought about it a little longer and decided that they'd all be dressed like the people in my grandmother's photograph album. I was sure that they'd all go around looking very pious and talking the same way. Well, long before anyone arrived, I told myself that they didn't know how to live, that I was a free soul who lived life to the fullest, and that I could afford to feel sorry for them. And then at 8 o'clock, the first boy arrived. Sure enough, he was carrying a Bible, but his clothes were, well, just like anyone else's, and he acted just like real people.
Hi, you must be Bob.
Yeah, that's right. I hope you people like pancakes and bacon.
Oh, hey, they'll go like, hotcakes, I guess. Hey, man, where's your guitar?
Back at my shack. Hey, how'd you know about it?
A man who hired you told me. He said, this Bobcat is a very cool operator with a gitbox.
Huh? He said that?
Yeah. He also said that you write your own songs.
Oh, yeah. I've worked out a few.
I wish you'd brought the instrument. We could use some real talent around here.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Oh, something smells pretty delicious.
Pancakes and bacon, Pat. And this is Bob, the only singing, guitar-playing, songwriting chef on the West Shore.
Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Do you really do all those things? I mean, well, I can smell the bacon.
Yeah,
but...
well, I was just telling him that he ought to bring his guitar. Where's everybody else?
Coming down the street right behind me. They'll be here any second. Bob, what can I do to help?
Well, it's all done. All you have to do is bring a plate, and I'll fill it up.
Hey,
those kids were a real surprise. Not at all what I had expected. And it didn't take me long to discover that they really had what I had tried to kid myself I had. Joy. Real joy. I couldn't figure it out. Well, as the days went by, I found myself envying them, the people I had intended to feel sorry for. But finally, a few evenings later, I brought it out into the open. I was at the home of a friend, and with us were the local pastor and one of the girls from the team. Well, I picked up a lull in the conversation to ask a question. I said, what's with this group? Are they supposed to be religious?
Why, Bob?
Well, they're happy. That's the first thing I noticed about them. And they stay that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it. I mean, when you get religious, why be so happy?
Well, a better word for it than happy or happiness is joy. They don't have religion, they have joy. And it's theirs because they've met the Lord Jesus Christ, personally. He actually lives within them.
That's a pretty way of putting it, but
No. I mean it. Christ actually lives within them, since they received him as their Savior.
Never heard that.
Well, it's right here in the Bible. I'll show it to you. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Then, a little farther down, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him.
I see. And this business of having joy?
Well, in the verses I've just read, Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit coming to live within those who have received Christ. And over here, we read that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Notice, Bob, it says joy.
A few minutes later, Bob and the pastor and the girl from the teen team prayed together. And Bob, in a definite act of faith, received Christ as his Lord and Savior. Tell me, Bob, if things changed as a result.
Oh, yes, sir, everything. I know what Paul meant when he wrote, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Such as?
Well, the cigarettes went first. I went 18 hours without any, and then at exactly 5 o'clock the following afternoon, I lit one up. And a few minutes later, I glanced at my watch, and it had stopped at exactly 5 o'clock. That jolted me. A week later, I gave them up for good. A week after that, I went home, told my parents what had happened. Well, it wasn't easy for them to understand, but they did know that I was a different person. And I know it, too, because the joy I envied so much in the others is now mine, too, like eternal life itself. It's a gift of God.
Bob is now waiting to enter Bible school to train for a life in the active service of Christ. Oh, he's still writing songs, too, but God has given him an altogether new song to sing.
When your heavily burdened with a sinful load, desperately stumbling down life's lonely road, and when you find heartache more than you can bear, just call on Jesus. He'll always be there. He'll always be there. Your burden.
Thought he was looking for freedom, but he failed to find it. All that time, freedom in Christ was looking for him. Now in Christ, he knows the truth of the statement that if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It may be that you too are looking for freedom, struggling to find it, not knowing that it can be had only when taken through Christ as a gift of God's grace. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone in Chicago, Wabash 21462. Listeners in Europe may write to Unshackled, Transworld Radio, 30 Bedford Place, London, WC1. We hope you'll make it a point to write this week and tell us that you hear the programs, and please ask others to listen too. Unshackled's produced and transcribed by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Let's hear from you this week. Your encouragement means much. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. And if you need spiritual help now, you may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at Wabash 21462.